Good afternoon. My name is Angela Ryder. I am the chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. It is Monday, June 27th, 2022 at 12 p.m. I am now calling this meeting to order. Folks on this video conference, please mute yourselves until it is your opportunity to speak or been called upon to eliminate any distractions of background noise. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set forth to a specific time. During the meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorneys pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. Board members, please also welcome Carrie Smith, independent advisor from the Attorney General's office. Carrie will be assisting us today. In accordance with open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Individuals found violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly, and if the disorderly conduct continues, the person may be removed from the meeting. Mr. Augerton, will you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Present.
Board Member DeRoost?
Present.
Vice Chair Moon?
Present.
Chair Ryder?
Present.
Four present, one vacant.
Thank you. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting, subject to a reasonable time, which is 3 minutes, place and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issues within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a particular matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Be advised, the call to public is not an opportunity for testimony for cases that are being reviewed by the board. Do we have a call to public? Okay, I'm going to take that silence as a no. I was anticipating there would be questions, but I think we'll be getting to some pertinent questions later on. The board members should have had an opportunity to review the board packet for today. Board members, are there any conflicts of interest? Okay. The board members should have had an opportunity to review the massage board open minutes from April 25th, 2022, May 17th, 2022, and May 23rd, 2022. Are there any discussions to be had regarding these open minutes? And there are none. I move to accept the massage board open meeting minutes from April 25th, 2022, May 17th, 2022, and May 23rd, 2022. Do we have a second?
This is board member Tapscott. You have a second.
And can we do a roll call vote, Mr. Augerton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes. Next, we're going to be discussing health report. Tony, would you do me a favor, please, if you have the ability to make sure everybody is muted? We are getting some background noise that is a little bit distracting. I don't know if you have that ability. Next on our chair's report, we have a review, discussion, and possible action relating to the status report on HB 2438. I would like to defer first to Mr. Auberton and ask if you could brief the board and the public on this status. And following your response, I will defer to you and Investigator David Olson with some questions that have been prepared. Please unmute Mr. Auberton.
Thank you. thank you, Madam Chair, for the reminder. And thank you, board members. Good morning. Most of you will remember that House Bill 2438 was introduced this session by Representative Longdon from the House and also with a group of bipartisan co-sponsors. The bill in its original form created some concern for the board, and this was communicated to the staff in the House that worked with this with Representative Longdon, and there were subsequently two meetings with board staff following the preliminary discussion. The bill that you have before you today, which amends Title 32, is a 9-page bill. And if I can draw your attention primarily to page 3, number 11, the primary focus of the bill, there's some other changes that you'll see before that, which are mostly conforming. And I don't, by the way, want to be briefing in opposition to the AG's office, which will give you the official review of this bill at a later time, which I'll mention in just a minute. But the lay description I want to give you is if you would focus your attention on page 3, number 11, lines 13 through 16. And what this bill does in its current form is to basically add the Arizona Massage Board to the list of other state entities that require what's known as a level 1 fingerprint clearance card. Most of you are familiar with that either through school teacher friends or individuals that have licenses with other boards and commissions. The way the bill was finally approved this last session, it will be a bifurcated system going forward. Now, ordinarily, all new bills become enacted 90 days after the end of the session, which just ended this last week. But this bill has a specific date of January the 1st, 2023. And when it's specifically mentioned like that, that will actually be the implementation date. So the Attorney General's office, customarily over the years working with the regulatory boards, provides a summary briefing to the executive directors after Labor Day, after they've had a chance to vet the bills and the changes that have been proposed, and to look for conformity and consistencies with existing statute and existing rules. Our own attorney, Seamus Monahan, our assistant attorney general, is actually on a committee of other attorneys within the licensing enforcement section that will be looking in specifically into 2438. But as we have up on the website, we will not probably have that product from the Attorney General's review process until after Labor Day. But we, as a reminder, we have until January the 1st to provide more information on the website and to the existing licensees. And I'm going to defer here in just a second to Board Investigator David Elson. The way, and again, I'm not giving you a legal interpretation, just the lay interpretation would be to say that with the passage of this bill, it'll be a two-step process. So that someone coming in for the first time to the school system who would like to pursue massage as a career, and I can't speak for the schools, but there's been some preliminary discussion about this possibly being a requirement by them that before they will enter a student into their curricula, they would require the pursuit of the level 1 fingerprint clearance card process prior to admission. But anyway, at some point, the individuals that will be matriculating will be getting a level 1 fingerprint clearance card and then presenting that to the Arizona Massage Board. The process which each of you are familiar with, which is the inked FD-258 federal fingerprint card, will continue. And the reason that it's bifurcated is that, as you already know from previous discussion we've had on this bill, is there's a difference in the information collected with the level one fingerprint clearance card and the information collected by the FBI DPS inked fingerprint background check. And I'll let David go into more specificity on that. After the individual has done the level one fingerprint clearance card, and typically the board recommends that we take the fingerprints as part of the licensing process, then that would be submitted, as is currently custom, to DPS and to the FBI for that review. The board has not had a chance to discuss this yet because you have not really been briefed on the bill. At some later point, my suggestion to the schools and to the board is that we may have an opportunity here to take the level one clearance card, which would be done at some point in the admissions or educational process by the schools, and use that, if it comes back clear, as sufficient authority to license after graduation, as opposed to the current tradition of going through the FBI inked fingerprint test, which, as you know, during the pandemic was as long as 12 weeks and actually currently is between 7 and 8 weeks. And if the licensing process could begin upon graduation, then people could be licensed with a level one card, and the results would be waited for not on their clock, but on our clock with regard to the other background check. If that comes back clear, then perhaps we can go from interim status to permanent status when we have both documents to finalize the licensing process. So that's not been discussed by you yet. It's not been vetted with the AG's office. They, I would remind you, not only represent this board, but all the other boards where there's already been prior discussion and prior examination of what are best practices for complying with the bill. So, Madam Chair, I think that's all I will do, so it doesn't resemble a filibuster, and then let you call on the board investigator, and maybe he can do a more detailed and accurate description of what the differences are between the two background checks.
Thank you so much, Mr. Otterton. You've actually shed some light on and answered some questions that I'm sure a lot of people on the call have already. But we will get into more detail. So I am going to defer to Investigator David Elson. And we had talked a little bit about preparation for some questions. Inquiring minds want to know, first of all, what is the difference between the traditional fingerprint card that we've been using and a fingerprint clearance card as far as what the agencies are looking for in each of these, please?
The fingerprint card we've been using, the inked 258 or live scan prints, we send those to DPS, who runs a state check on them, and then they forward those to the FBI, who run a federal check on them. When we get the results back of those, we get everything. So we get, if you were arrested a gazillion years ago for burglary and not convicted, we are privy to that information. With the fingerprint clearance card, the only thing we're going to get back is convictions. So if, let's say in what we deal with, if you are arrested for prostitution, 3 counts of prostitution, and you became a confidential informant and helped the police and got all of that off your record, with a fingerprint clearance card, unless you were convicted, we would never know. With the fingerprint background check we do now, the arrest still shows up. We can still see you were arrested and ask you questions and what happened and stuff like that to be clear that you're safe to practice.
Got it. Thank you. Let's see. For me, this might be easy, and for others, it might not be. Where can an individual obtain a fingerprint clearance card, and is it easy to obtain?
It is easy to obtain. You can go to, let's see here. You can do it online, or you can go to 2222 West Encanto Boulevard, Phoenix, and apply in person at the DPS Service Center.
Oh, that's convenient that you can do it online. Okay. If a stakeholder already has an active license, but has a history of offenses previously that would normally disqualify them from obtaining a clearance card. Will that history prevent them from keeping or renewing their license in the future? Now, I know you might not be able to answer this question. This might be something that is going to come up at a later date after the Attorney General's office.
Right. This is going to have to go before the board because it's very, I've received numerous questions about people that have a massage therapy license but don't qualify for some reason or another for a fingerprint clearance card. Are they going to be able to still be licensed? Should they start trying to get it expunged, you know, for whatever reason? So we don't know till the Attorney General's office looks at it or it goes before the board that if you're already licensed and you're not qualified for a fingerprint clearance card, are they going to allow you to grandfather in? We're not sure on that yet.
Okay. And there is something called a good cause exemption. Can you elaborate on what that is? I believe that's a process to get certain things off of trying to actually qualify for the clearance card. Is that correct?
It's not on your list of questions that you sent me. Sorry about that. But yeah, you can go get it expunged. I mean, you have to go through the court system, but you can put in the process to get it expunged, but they're not going to give you a clearance card until it is actually expunged.
Understood. Thank you. How will the requirement of a clearance card benefit new and existing stakeholders?
It should make the initial process go faster because I know in April for fingerprints, our turnaround time was really only like 2 to 3 weeks. And then upon all these graduations, now it's back up to 8 to 10 weeks is what we're seeing after I send them off before I get them back. So if, like Tom said, you can get a interim on your fingerprint clearance card, an interim license till we get through with your inked fingerprint cards, then that'll speed that process up. The clearance cards, though, are an actual live tracking device that we will benefit the board because once you get arrested and convicted, they're going to notify us in real time that you've been arrested and convicted. And by board policy, you only have 10 days to report an arrest or a charge after you're arrested, no matter what it's for. So if you got arrested for simple assault, it's a violation of the statute to not report that charge within 10 days. So if you get convicted of something, once you're convicted, the board's going to be notified by DPS because you hold a clearance card with a fingerprint clearance card that's related to us. We'll be notified that you were arrested, that you were charged, and the date you were convicted, which could pose a problem for people that aren't following the statutes and reporting the charges within 10 days.
Which I believe you have come across that on numerous occasions. People not
reporting. Numerous.
So with all of that being said, that in itself can be quite a benefit to the public as far as public protection, having that knowledge in real time. It would make it easier for the board to help protect the public.
That's correct. It'll be able for us to better regulate people that are safe to practice based on something they may have done illegally. Will be notified in real time that they were convicted of something instead of relying on, it could be the next renewal application. So 2 years, they fill out a renewal application. If they don't report within 10 days and they tell us, oh, I was arrested for this a year and a half ago. So now we'll know in real time they were convicted and can make the public safer by knowing that.
Okay, very good. For individuals who possess a clearance card already, do they have to get a new one, or is the one they already have been, the one that they already have, is that sufficient?
I've got a call into DPS. I think that's going to be sufficient. I think they have to just add us to the people that are notified if they were charged with something.
Okay. All right. I think those were all of the questions that had come up since the bill has passed. And then obviously the rest of our more burning questions will be answered once the Attorney General's office vets the bill more thoroughly. So Investigator Allison, thank you so much for answering those questions. And thank you also, Mr. Alderton. Next up, upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. In our formal hearings, I am going to immediately defer to the Attorney General's office on our first case, number 21-145, He Yang, Massage Therapy License 17196. I believe the respondent has entered a consent agreement for surrender of massage therapy license. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. No, this is for civil penalty and continuing education. I did want to make sure if Ms. Yang or her attorney were also on the call.
Yes, good afternoon. Charles Hover with the Shelley firm on behalf of Ms. Yang and filling in for Sarah Stark. Thank you.
Okay. And Madam Chair, members of the board, so this preliminary matter, you know, you have the consent agreement in front of you. Based on the evidence that the board had and the evidence the board didn't have, it was determined that this would be the most appropriate way to go forward. I won't speak for Ms. Yang. I'll let her attorney do that. But the consent agreement essentially is a $500 disciplinary civil penalty, 3 hours in the area of continuing education and ethics. And that's for the failure to report the arrest on the night of the police stings. Ms. Yang was never formally charged. This matter was 3 years ago. She has never been charged and has not been in trouble since, is my understanding. And so we did negotiate this in good faith. However, I will let Ms. Yang's attorney speak for her.
Yes, thank you, Seamus. That was a very fair recitation of the foundation, the basis for the consent agreement and the history involved, and we would just encourage and ask the board to accept the proffered consent agreement.
Okay. I would like to ask the board members if you have any questions at this time. Now would be a good time to entertain those questions or comments. And it looks like we have none. Do any of the board members wish to make a motion?
And you might be muted.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I motion that we accept the consent agreement.
And Member Tapscott, could you also include in that motion to rescind the order for summary suspension?
Yes, I also include in that the motion to rescind the order for the summary suspension.
Thank you.
This is Vice Chairman. I'll second that motion.
And Mr. Alderton, could we do a roll call vote with that, please? And unmute if you're muted.
You are muted, Tom.
I am so sorry. I'm looking at your mutes and didn't realize I'm going to leave the mic open. Sorry about that, everybody. Board Member DeRoost on the motion.
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes.
And the motion passes to accept this consent agreement for case number 21-145, He Yang Massage Therapy License 17196. And that concludes this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, if I could jump in. So the second one is listed under the formal hearings in order, because it is technically going to formal hearing in July. The matter before the board today is to decide whether to grant or deny petition for continuation, or in the alternative, if you do grant the continuation of the hearing, that you set a date to, based on what that continuation will be.
Thank you. So I would like to defer to you or Investigator Elson at this time. So this case number 22-115, Jonathan David Riggs, Massage Therapy License 13639, is scheduled for Monday. The hearing is scheduled for Monday, July 25th, 2022. There has been an additional request from Mr. Riggs, and I believe it is a petition to postpone the hearing due to hardships. My questions to the board members would be, do you have any questions regarding this petition that you would like to know, or a refresher on the specifics of the case?
And for the record, Madam Chair, members of the board, Mr. Riggs is, as you can see, is in his petition, knowingly still summarily suspended and willing to be summarily suspended. Just want to give you that information. The state does not have an opinion either way. It's merely up to the board.
This is Vice Chairman.
I apologize, Vice Chair Moon. I did just want to make one point that it does appear that this has to do with a case, an appeal in a case as well, in which the state would proffer that there's already a conviction regardless of the appeal. So
to be clear, there has been a conviction with the case that we are hearing about. Is that correct? And he and Mr. Riggs is yes. In the process of appealing that.
Correct.
Okay. Ms. Moon, you had a question or comment?
No, just a comment. I see no problem, or I have no problem with, I guess, the next. You guys are asking for a date of not having it be heard in this meeting and to the next board meeting, I think, the end of July.
So Mr. Riggs is scheduled for the formal hearing on Monday, July 25th, and his petition is to postpone that further, although he already has a conviction in a different court for this case. And Mr. Monahan, are there any other ramifications the board and board members should know about that would inhibit our ability to, should we postpone this further? Is there anything that we should know that's going to inhibit us?
Well, I think because it's set for formal hearing, and that's, part of the reason why we had Assistant Attorney General Smith on, I think that would be a better question for her.
Okay. Ms. Smith, would you be able to answer that question? Is there anything that's going to inhibit the board should we postpone this further?
Well, from my understanding of the presentation, Madam Chairwoman, the licensee is currently summarily suspended and is making the request. So from a public protection perspective, if that suspension is going to continue, it would basically maintain the status quo for a period of time. Having not reviewed the case material, I couldn't comment further on the merits of the request itself. However, if the basis of the disciplinary action is a conviction that is already has already occurred and is on appeal, I would just note that unless there's a hearing deadline, or unless there is some sort of resolution in the near future, that appeal process could last for a substantial period of time. So I think the board would generally have to balance its ability to complete its hearing process with the likelihood that the situation may change after the appeal.
Thank you for that. I think that kind of answered my question. Because of this appeal process, appeals can take a very long time. I would be inclined personally to just move forward since there already is a conviction and not have this weighing on us for longer than necessary. But that's my opinion, and I would like to hear from the other board members regarding that.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I agree. And even more so, I'm concerned about the message that we send by allowing this case to drag on. I think this board on many cases has been very generous about allowing people time to properly represent themselves, but I think this individual has plenty of time, and I think we should not postpone it any longer than one more month from now for multiple reasons, even if there wasn't a conviction.
Right. And I think that with the potential allegations and the case in itself, I think it warrants to just kind of move it along. Mr. Roos, do you have a comment?
I think your arguments were great, because I was going to say, let's just move it to August. But Mr. Tapscott, you had a good argument that last time we do tend to drag out cases, and just to move this along. I agree with you. I think let's keep it in July. So I support that.
Okay. I will go ahead and make the motion. I move to proceed with the hearing for case number 22-115, Jonathan David Riggs, massage therapist license 13639. To proceed with the hearing as scheduled on July 25th, 2022, and deny the petition to postpone the hearing to a later date.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes that the petition to postpone case number 22-115 is denied.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you. Next is a formal interview, case number 22-148, massage therapist license number 13631. This is a preliminary review of the information available to the board at this time. It is not a hearing. The board may consider summary action against license number 13631. Is the license holder present in this meeting? And it appears that they are not.
Madam Chair, this yes. is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. You have two options here. You have three options. You can continue the formal interview to the next month. You can wait to see if Ms. Kramer will come on the call, or you can offer a consent agreement or move this to a formal hearing.
Okay. I move to offer a consent agreement and move this case to a formal hearing.
And what would that consent agreement consist of?
Consent agreement. Actually, could I back up for a moment? I would like to ask Mr. Elson to provide a brief summary of the case once again for the board members and the public. So Mr. Elson, would you please provide a summary of the complaint against Mike Kramer for the board members?
Sure. Ms. Kramer was part of the cases that you just heard. Pulling her up right now. On January 14th, 2020, the board was notified by Tempe Police Department that on October 30th, 2019, respondent was arrested and charged with being an employee of House of Prostitution, money laundering, conducting an illegal enterprise, and conspiracy. Based on this information, the board conducted an investigation. During the investigation, Ms. Kramer was the only one that sent in her, it was late, but it made it by the board hearing, sent in her investigative questionnaire that explained that while she was a massage therapist and she was in the facility at the time of the raid, she was there in a custodial position just trying to clean for, she was working for the owner while she was off cleaning, is what she says. After a thorough court search myself and information sent in by the respondent, like the case before that you just heard on He Yang, she was never charged formally with any of the charges. She was one of the two that did not get charged. She was arrested and she failed to report those within 10 days, but she was never charged by the county attorney.
Has she been in trouble since then?
Not that I could find. And she, this is her second formal interview. She didn't show for the other one. So I sent it to the new address, the new email address she gave on her investigative questionnaire, and she didn't respond to this one either.
Thank you. My concern with this particular case, and maybe it's more of a question, do we know if Ms. Kramer was aware that she was an employee of a house of prostitution? Regardless of if she was performing sexual acts or not.
From the police report I read, it appeared, I think the police report's in your packet. It's pretty obvious that anybody there knew what was going on there. In her statement, she says she rented a residence from one of the people that were charged. In exchange for a lower rent on the home, she assisted with cleaning the business property. Because she was cleaning the business property on the date they were arrested, everyone in the facility was arrested. I was named in the investigation only because of my rental relationship with the owners. She was there cleaning the business property on the date when everyone at the facility was arrested. And she wasn't charged, and she wasn't charged in this manner. She goes on to say that about four times.
Okay. But she does have a massage therapy license, which
yes, she does. That's quite a coincidence.
It is. Her license is currently expired as of 6/18/2022. And so does that mean she is currently on a suspended status by operation of law?
She's on an expired status. She's not suspended. She okay. could expired. She can renew her license anytime, and just because there's a case against her, doesn't we would still have to grant her licensure.
I apologize. She was notified before her license expired. So she is under suspended status.
Okay.
If you were to dismiss or dispose of this case in any way, her license would then expire with the understanding that she has 3 years to come back and reinstate it.
Mr. Tapscott?
Yeah, my concern is not, I mean, there's many concerns, but But one of my concerns too is that we can't even talk to this individual. And I feel like you have an obligation, if your license was current at least, to respond to the board when they ask about allegations. I mean, that alone gives me cause for concern, regardless of the conclusions that we draw upon, which we can't even decide upon since this individual's not here. So my concern would be that that somehow this application is flagged should they try to renew it, so that we can bring this matter back up should that time come.
And Member Tapscott, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. You can move this forward to formal hearing based on the allegations in the in the investigative report, and we can hold the hearing or deem the allegations, and it will revoke her license. So if she comes back, she would not be able to reinstate in 3 years. Her license would be revoked. She would have to reapply.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman, I think we should move to formal interview.
Hearing.
I agree.
Formal hearing. Okay. And Mr. Monahan, could you tell me once again the purpose of the consent agreement? You had mentioned before consent agreement and move to a formal hearing.
You could offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender in lieu of formal hearing. If she signs it, the formal hearing goes away.
Okay. All right. I would like to move that a consent agreement to surrender the massage therapy license is issued in lieu of a formal hearing if we don't hear from Ms. Kramer regarding the consent agreement. We move this to a formal hearing.
And what would be the date certain that she would have to agree to the voluntary surrender? 30 days?
Within 30 days.
Okay. And if we're moving to formal hearing, is that based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations in your board report?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Board Member Drews, and I second that.
And can we do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes.
The motion passes. The necessary documents will be sent in the mail.
Seamus, so do you want to set this for hearing in August with the surrender due by July?
Please.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And that concludes this matter. Next, we have license applications requiring public board review. The first one, case 22-18092, we have previously met for this case and could not understand the answers that Ms. Tu is providing due to a language barrier. Is it a fact that we, as the board and staff, were unable to secure a Vietnamese interpreter for this meeting?
We were unable to secure a Vietnamese interpreter because initially we thought she would need to have TOEFL or TOEIC, but because she's reciprocity, she didn't have to have the TOEFL or TOEIC. So we can try to do the hearing again. We can try to do the investigative review, and if not, we'll have to secure a Vietnamese interpreter for next meeting.
Okay.
Members of the board, I just want to make sure that if we're not going to issue the license, that we have grounds for denying licensure. I understand we want to talk to her, but I just want to make sure that we have grounds to deny her if that's why we're holding up this her application.
Thank you, Mr. Monahan. I believe the main issue here was that the board members previously had questions to ask Ms. Tu regarding a previous case, and we were unable to get answers due to the language barrier.
I can review the case for you if you want.
Yes, I would like to review the case, and then I think that will refresh the memories of the board members too as to why we had questions for this individual before either granting or denying the license.
On December 8th, 2021, applicant applied for an Arizona massage license. During the application process, it was discovered that on January 3rd, 2007, applicant had been cited with misdemeanor prostitution in San Francisco, California. Based on the prostitution citation, the board conducted an investigation. Through the board's investigation and court records, we found that a certified copy of the dismissal and discharge on July 7th, 2007 was obtained. So they discharged the citation.
Okay. And if I'm not, and please correct me if I'm wrong, this was the place of employment was a health club, and Miss Chu was changing her clothes.
That is correct, yes.
That's correct.
I have a good memory sometimes. yes, Mr. Tapscott.
Thank you. I guess my question is really, do we have the right to deny this license? I realize there's some suspicious activity here, but this is a 15-year-old charge that was never convicted. So I'm not sure, very respectfully, I'm not sure there's any substance that we can act on at this point.
Sure. I think my main concern with it was that it was, there was a question of moral turpitude. Was it dismissed because it was, I think sometimes things are dismissed because it pled down.
And Madam Chair, our statutes allow for crimes of moral turpitude if there's a conviction. So the lack of the conviction would.
And there's no, the court records specifically say we received a request for dispositional records regarding Nagatu Lam. This letter is to certify that the misdemeanor complaint was withdrawn and the case was discharged in the above matter. No conviction.
For my clarity, we have no grounds to deny that. Is that the application? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm trying to say in not yes. so point blank language.
Yeah. That's kind of everything is what I'm hearing. I don't think we have grounds, though.
Thank you.
And on another note, interpreters are very costly if there's no grounds for denial.
Okay.
So is our options?
The options would be to either move this to a date where we do have access to an interpreter and secure a Vietnamese interpreter, or we can grant the license. At this point, we don't really have any grounds to deny the license.
This is Chairperson Tapscott. I motion that we grant this license.
And I second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes. This license for Na Tu will be granted. And that concludes that.
Ooh, I just blinked.
The next applicant for review, case 22-198, Caitlin Janik. This is a preliminary review of the information available to the board at this time. It is not a hearing, and the board may consider a motion to accept or deny the initial license application for Caitlin Janik. Is the applicant present at this meeting?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us today. Are you represented by any counsel?
No.
Okay, thank you. Investigator Mr. Ellison, can you please provide a summary of your investigation of Ms. Janik?
On March 30th, 2022, the applicant completed an application for licensure as a licensed massage therapist. Upon completion of background investigation, it was discovered applicant was arrested in October of 2002 by the McHenry County, Illinois Sheriff's Office for burglary with no disposition. Based on this information, the board completed an investigation. The records indicate that at the time of the burglary charge, the applicant was 14. The case was diverted from court and no formal charges were filed. The case was remanded to juvenile court. In-depth record checks of McHenry County, Illinois Circuit Court concluded on May 16, 2022, applicant only has 3 minor traffic offenses on her criminal record and no felonies.
Thank you, Mr. Ellison. Do any of the board members have any questions they would like to ask Ms. Caitlin Janik?
This is Board Member Tapscott. Ms. Janik, you've got no other offenses since you were 14 years old, basically?
No, I haven't.
So in the last 20 years, you've had no other offenses?
Correct.
I mean, I know how we all feel about this. I'll let the other board members chime in, but
this is Vice Man Chair. I'll speak into your facial expressions. I'm fine with not looking at that and granting this person a license.
Is that a motion?
Was not a motion. It was a comment.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and make the motion to approve the license.
I'll second that motion. And can we do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Vice Chair Moon?
Aye. Oh, sorry.
Board Member DeRoost? Go ahead.
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes.
The motion passes to grant licensure for Caitlin Janik.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, case number 22-208, Dallas Johnson Massage Therapist application. Again, this is a preliminary review of the information available to the board at this time and not a hearing. The board may consider a motion to accept or deny the initial license application for Dallas Johnson. Is the applicant present at this meeting? And it seems that Dallas is a miss. So I do apologize. So Dallas Johnson is not at this meeting. Investigator David Ellison, will you please provide a summary of your investigation of Miss Johnson?
Sure. April 19, 2022, applicant completed an application for licensure as a licensed massage therapist. Upon completion of the background investigation, it was discovered applicant was arrested on May 10th, 2020 by the Gilbert Police Department for felony possession of marijuana, possession of narcotics, narcotic transportation and or sale, possession of paraphernalia, all felonies. Based on this information, the board conducted an investigation. It was noted that the Maricopa County Attorney's Office never filed a complaint or hasn't filed a complaint related to these arrests yet. I notified the applicant by email of her pending investigative review, which she didn't respond to. And I also emailed her on May 5th, 2022, a notice of complaint along with an investigative questionnaire that she hasn't responded to. She did respond to an email form to the investigative questionnaire. Okay, so, and she wrote in the email, okay, so I've been trying to call you, but that's all false information. I haven't been able to get in touch with her since.
Dr. Does it say in the report, it says marijuana and narcotics. Were there other narcotics involved or listed in there besides marijuana? I'm assuming not because I didn't see any. I apologize. I think either I'm freezing up or everyone else is freezing up. Did anybody hear what I just said?
Yeah.
We heard you.
Okay. I was like, it's very still and very quiet.
I believe Dave is frozen up, not you.
Okay.
I thought he was very stoic. Sorry. Madam Chair, board members, if you want to talk to Ms. LeVay, this may be one that you want to continue, especially considering how close in time to her application. There are some considerations around marijuana charges and what they mean now. So we can talk about that, but I think that it's maybe prudent that you actually speak to her or get an answer from her, because it just seems that she's saying that, you know, this didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. This is Vice Chair Moon. I agree with that. And I think because that there was communication with the investigator, it's not like we haven't heard from her, that this board deserves to at least have a conversation before we make a decision.
I agree with that as well. I would like to move that we postpone this to the next meeting and invite Dallas Johnson, applicant, to that meeting so that the board members can ask her some questions about this.
Second.
Can I have a second, please?
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that.
And a roll call vote.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost.
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon.
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Chair Ryder.
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes. We will move this application to our next board meeting, which is July 25th, 2022. Board staff, please be diligent in reaching out to Dallas Johnson to see if we can ask her some questions so we can approve or deny her application. Next is case number 22-206, Jingxia Li, applicant. This is a preliminary review of the information available to the board at this time. It is not a hearing. The board may consider a motion to accept or deny the license application for Jingxia Li. Is the applicant present in this meeting today? And Investigator David Elson, could you please provide a summary of your investigation of Jingxia Li?
I do not see David here any longer.
Uh-oh. I'm trying to get back on.
And it looks like Ms. Moon may have gotten disconnected as well.
I'm here. I just switched computers.
Okay. We will hold fast for Investigator Elson.
Madam Chair, if it helps, I could read the complaint summary to the board while we're waiting for Mr. Elson.
He said network kicked him off. He's trying to get back on right now. But that could help, Tom, if you want to do
okay.
That would be great, Mr. Ogerton. Thank you.
On April the 19th, 2022, the applicant completed an application for licensure as a licensed massage therapist. The applicant answered no to question 18. Within 5 years before the date of this application, have you been convicted of a misdemeanor involving prostitution, solicitation, or other similar offenses involving moral turpitude that is reasonably related to the practice of massage therapy? And then there's the statutory citation. When during the background investigation, it was discovered on November the 12th, 2021, that the applicant was convicted of unlawful conduct and massage practice in Spanish Fort, Utah.
When was that?
Madam Chair, the incident was November the 12th, 2021 in okay. Utah.
Thank you. And has Mr. Elson made it back?
I'm back on, but I'm on the phone now.
That's okay. That is okay. So we are discussing applicant Jingxia Li.
Okay.
Mr. Ogerton has just briefed us a little bit. We would like to learn a little bit more about the details, if you would. So if you could entertain us and the public and the board, some more details regarding the conviction of this applicant.
So on April 19th, 2022, she applied for her licensed massage therapist license. On the application question number 18, it says, within 5 years before the date of this application, have you been convicted of a misdemeanor involving prostitution, solicitation, or other similar offense involving moral turpitude that is reasonably related to the practice of massage therapy? She answered no. During the background investigation, it was determined that on November 12, 2021, she was convicted for misdemeanor unlawful conduct / massage. I don't know what that means, massage practice in Spanish Fort, Utah, and was sentenced to 364 days in jail, suspended, and 18 months probation, $2,500 fine, and court costs. So it tells me that it was something pretty bad, whatever the misdemeanor unlawful conduct massage practice was, to get that type of fine. It was having to do, but to make it had to do with the offense involving moral turpitude that is reasonably related to the practice of massage therapy, which is where I was concerned with it.
And Madam Chair, it does appear that now that this information has become available, that the applicant does not meet the basic requirements for licensure under 422A7B or C, U7B and C.
Okay. Based on the information presented in this meeting and the findings and facts, statute rule violations identified in the investigative report, I move to deny licensure for Jingxia Li.
This is Vice Chairman. I'll second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes to deny this license.
Can I ask what y'all did with Dallas Johnson? I'm keeping up with it.
With Dallas Johnson, we would like to speak with Dallas at the next board meeting.
You move her to a formal interview?
No.
No, we really just want to ask questions.
She's an applicant. We can't move applicants to formal interview.
So just try to get her back to the next one.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Okay.
All right. Next on our agenda, possible action items for future massage board agendas. Board members? Is there anything that you would like to have added to the future agenda? All right. The next board meeting date is Monday, July 25th, 2022 at 9 a.m. to be held digitally online. That concludes this meeting. We are adjourned.